Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, this is Amanda Shaw. She's going to be on stage at the Shell Gentile stage opening up Jazz Fest tomorrow at 11:25. Amanda's in our studio right now. Good afternoon.
What's happening?
Hey, it's always great to see you.
It's so great to see you, too. It's happy Jazz Fest. We're here. The weather is beautiful. So.
And look, this is a perfect example of how you have not turned your back on New Orleans. And I had you in the studio for an hour a couple weeks ago, and we talked about how there are a few of your fans who are upset because they feel like you've turned your back on New Orleans because you're living and spending so much time in Nashville. Yeah. I support you in this decision to go to Nashville because, unfortunately, someone in your position, you have a much better chance of being around the right people in the business to take the next step than here in New Orleans. And I know New Orleans is famous for its music, and there are a lot of people here who don't understand why New Orleans isn't like a music mecca. But I'm sorry, it's not. And that is just the reality of it. I applaud you going to Nashville. I think it is a great step for you, not only as a performer, but also as a young woman.
Thank you.
I think this is just, I think it's a place for you to grow, and you need to do that, but you're still going to be here for your fans,
absolutely,
for the festivals and everything else.
I mean, there's no way, and a couple weeks ago I was at the French Quarter Festival, and of course Jazz Festival. This time of year, it's hard to stay away. We have just so much great, so many great events, great community here. So yeah, I can't go too long without being here at home,
And also with your music and with your personality, you're taking New Orleans with you elsewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's like the most important thing to me is, everywhere I go, and the first thing I get to tell people when I meet people like in Nashville or wherever it is that I perform, I always say, hey, I'm Amanda Shaw and I'm from New Orleans. I'm a fiddle player from New Orleans, Louisiana. And the conversation that statement alone is able to spark with people, again, not just in Nashville, but all over the world. I've actually made over the years friends all over, because of that one statement, because New Orleans carries such weight in the world of music, and anybody who appreciates and loves music, knows the history that New Orleans has in what it's brought and the contributions that we've made to the world of music. So, it's an important thing to me, and I understand that what I'm doing is just one small piece in a much bigger puzzle, the great thing about New Orleans is we are about our lineage, our culture, where we've been, where we're going, and that's an important thing to me, is to keep carrying that the best that I can,
You and I are very close friends, and you and I have shared many personal things with each other about our lives.
Yes.
But yet, I want to interview you like I'm interviewing an artist, okay?
Yes.
So, you studied classical violin early on. When did you realize that you didn't want to stay with classical music?
Classical violin gave me a great foundation, and in some ways I really still, even though I don't actively practice it anymore and I don't practice reading music and I don't perform that music, it gave me such a great foundation, and there are such great things at the core that I'm still able to carry with me through, playing, Cajun music, through songwriting, having that understanding that base and understanding of, you know, my instrument and music theory. So I think that, you know, those beginning years were really, really important. I had a great teacher at SLU. I grew up in Hammond, Louisiana at the time. And Dr. Voldemund, taught me so, you know, he was a wonderful teacher, the importance of having a wonderful teacher. But, you know, my parents started taking me to like Mulots and Michals, you know, on the weekends and going to the Fader Doe, seeing the Cajun bands and fiddle players like Mitchell Reed, Gina Forsythe. They took me under their wing. And like when I was very young would like, you know, teach me fiddle songs, little fiddle songs. And some of those songs I still perform in my shows today. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed, you know, the vibe. I loved how like happy and joyful, like, I don't know if you know this about me, but like, I like to have fun. So, so
that's even, not a secret.
No, that's not a secret. But even as a young kid, like, you know, just seeing people dancing, enjoying each other, you know, that Cajun music is, you know, it's food, it's music, it's like community. It's like kind of all the best pieces of life. Like that's what that music is really based around. And you know, even though I didn't fully understand the scope of, you know, the music, I did relate to what I felt and I experienced in that moment. And I've always just felt really connected to it. And I'm so glad that I've been able to grow my understanding, my appreciation for where the music has been, where the culture has been. And hopefully that I'm able to make, you know, the best contributions that I can to that music, and hopefully open, you know, by writing music inspired by Cajun music, I'm able to maybe open up to audiences that otherwise wouldn't discover this wonderful music that's really rooted in joyfulness. You know, not because life is great, but life is hard and we find joy in small places.
So now that you're in Nashville, do you see there to be an opening for a niche of pop Cajun music?
You know, it's really interesting. When I went to Nashville for the first time, you know, you walk around, there's, you know, obviously country music, there's Americana music. Everybody's got their own version of it, whether it's like Texas country or, you know, motorcycle country, or like, you know, there's rock country. Like everybody's got their own bell bottom country, right? You know, Lainey Wilson, who's, you know, from Louisiana as well. But I realized, I was like, huh, I was just like, you know, the thing about it seems to me that there's one of two things that you can do when you show up to a place and you're new somewhere, anywhere, any experience you have in life. You either conform to like what you think maybe people want to hear from you, or you say, you know what, this is who I am, and I'd rather find the people that really get who I am and where I've been and where I come from. And I think realizing, huh, I don't see anybody else playing Cajun music here, and this may work against me or it may work for me, but I'd rather really commit to the fact that this is who I am and find people that get it and are interested in it, that find the, you know, the things that I love about Cajun music, and that hopefully they'll love those things too. And yeah, so far I've met really great people, and I'm getting to work with some really dream people. And I don't know if I see what I see for the future, but I will say that, you know, so far just committing to being myself has been the best decision that I feel like I could make.
Well, you know, you and I have had this conversation that we all hear a voice inside.
Yeah.
Nobody else hears that voice. Right. And this is for everybody listening. We all hear a voice inside.
Correct.
And I think our greatest responsibility and our greatest freedom and joy is following that voice.
Absolutely.
In the way you dress, the way you act, the music you do, what I talk about on the air, I listen to that voice.
Correct.
And it's not always easy to listen to that voice, because sometimes you get criticized for listening to that voice, but you got to stay strong and listen to that voice. I will also mention to you that, you know, do what you're doing, but don't be so myopically set that you miss a door that opens, because what you're doing is going to bring about different doors that may open for you. And when the right door opens, if it does, you go in that door.
That is such great advice. No, I'm a true believer that the universe is always speaking, and that, you know, you have to be open to opportunity. So, you know, that's such great advice. And yeah, and you just never know when those things are going to come around.
How old were you when you first went on stage?
Oh, when I first went on stage, well, you know, I was 7 when I soloed with the Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra, whenever I was, you know, taking classical music lessons. And when I finished, this is probably one of my, and I still have a picture of the picture, but I finished that concerto, and I lifted my bow way up in the air, and I was very proud of myself, and I actually made the front page of the paper in Hammond with that, you know, that pose that I struck. And my mom mailed that picture into the Rosie O'Donnell show, and you know, that was my dream, was to be on the Rosie O'Donnell show at that time, because we used to watch the Rosie O'Donnell show every day in my house. And and long story short, a year later, you know, after my mom mailed that picture in, I ended up on the Rosie O'Donnell show, and I was like, life is made. So if only I knew that peaking at 8 is really not an ideal situation.
That's really great. But you know, Amanda, I was gone. I was in other cities. I did not know you when you were a child. I mean, when I moved back, you were already a young woman. But do you remember when you felt for the first time, not like a child, but like a young woman on stage?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I don't know if I've ever really had. I've always loved dressing up. I've always loved hair, makeup, picking out my outfit for my shows. As long as I remember, like, I've always, you know, whether I went through, like, you know, I kind of went through a rock and roll punk phase, you know, or like, you know, now I have, like, you know, custom, you know, dresses made, you know, I've just always really enjoyed that part of the show as well. So I don't know. That makes me feel the most me. And yeah, and it makes me, you know, wearing the best pair of heels, you know, the pair of heels and lipstick that I love, I feel like I can get on any stage and do anything I put my mind to. And that's just such a crazy awesome feeling.
Because I wondered if there was a moment in your life when you felt like, okay, now I'm a young woman and I want people to see me as a young woman. Because I hear it in some of your writing and some of your music that it seemed like there was this time when you sensed that you were no longer the child star, that you were a young woman and you wanted to be seen as a young woman.
Yeah, you know, I think, like, as far as my writing goes, I think, you know, for instance, like, Lipstick Stained Blues was a song that I wrote that, yeah, definitely came from some, like, you know, female, you know, I don't know. I just never felt like, I think that idea came from feeling like, even though I didn't at the time, and this was, you know, this was the 2000s, at the time, there weren't as many, I felt like, young women out there in our community doing what I was doing. And I never felt like just because I liked wearing makeup or heels or dressing up, it didn't make me any less of a musician. I didn't feel that way in my heart, you know, and that's an extension of my expression. And I just always wanted to, I just wanted to stay confident in that and stay confident in that feeling. And I think, like, that kind of writing definitely helped me stay firm in that belief and that, yeah, that being a girl and really feeling my femininity, that I don't want to shy away from that, you know, even in a male dominated industry, that's still a part of who I am. And I don't want to ever feel that. I never want to let that part of me die just because, you know, I'm surrounded by men. And I'm very fortunate that, you know, I have the cute guys. Everybody knows the cute guys. And they're some of my best friends. And honestly, they're part of my family at this point. And they've always been such a great support to me. They've never, ever, ever, you know, made me feel any sort of way. If anything, I'll call them up and be like, can we do blah, blah, blah? And they'll be like, you're the boss, you know, and I'll be like, that's great. So I feel lucky that I've always been surrounded by dudes that, you know, that really supported me. And, you know, but, you know, for other young women out there, I think I always really wanted to feel that was still just a part of who I am, and that I don't feel, for me personally, in my own personal journey as a woman in our industry, that, yeah, that being a woman shouldn't make you feel like you're any less. And there might be challenges that you face, but stay firm in who you are. And that's the most important thing you can do.
You know, I also think that there, a lot of people don't know this, but I think you've got really a great, strong business sense. And with your social media and a lot of things you do, I mean, I know a little bit about, you know, what you do that people don't know, but you've got a really strong business sense. And I know you're not going to lose that. I mean, that's the endearing factor of Taylor Swift. You know, she's just got this strong business sense. I think you've got that too. And always play that up. Now, I always found there to be a little bit of healthy naughty naughtiness about the song Lipstick Stain Blues, okay?
Thank you.
You know, there's just something a little naughty about I've got lipstick stain blues, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, something about lipstick stain is kind of naughty. All right, this is Amanda Shaw. We'll be right back. I'm Scoot on WWL. All right, this is breaking. This is a brand new song from Amanda Shaw. It's supposed to come out in a couple of weeks. You're getting a sample of it live right now. The song is titled Pothole Mouth and is done with Chawa, the Mardi Gras Indians band. You know, I love this. You know, this could come. This could become like a phrase. You know, you got pothole mouth.
You know, it was such a silly idea. Like, I was driving down Franklin Avenue, which if you've driven down Franklin,
Christ, you're going to run into some potholes
you
there.
You are going to bottom out your car. Yeah. And, like, I hit something, and I cursed every word in the book that I've hit that spot on Franklin.
I have.
And I was on my way to a writing session with Joe Gelini, and that's when it came up. It came to me and I was like, pothole mouth. And it seemed like such a silly idea. So I showed up to his house and I was like, I have like this silly idea. I don't even fully know what it means. But if you want to play with it, like pothole mouth. And then we sat there and in one afternoon, we wrote pothole mouth. And I absolutely love the way this song came out. I'm so excited for this song.
Yeah, it's cool. So pothole mouth coming out soon. When officially
May
coming
9th.
Out? May 9th.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad we had a chance to share that. We're going to go into the next break with another segment from Bad. It's a song written by Fred LeBlanc of Cowboy Mouth.
Right.
You're going to be with Cowboy Mouth. You're performing before Fred LeBlanc, Cowboy Mouth, this Saturday at Rock and Bowl.
That's right. I'm so excited. Fred called me a couple months ago and he was like, hey, we're doing a special nighttime show at Rock and Bowl. And he was like, I wanted to call and ask you if you would want to open up for me. And I was like, Fred, say less. I am there. I was like, and if you didn't ask me, I was going to show up anyways. So, and then, yeah, so we're gonna do a little thing. Maybe I'll stick around and jump on stage with Fred and we'll see. So you got to be there. So if you're looking for something to do, whether you went to the fest all day and you're looking for nighttime shows, or maybe you're a local and you just want to get out and enjoy some of the festivities, we're doing a special nighttime show at the Rock and Bowl on Saturday night. And it's been forever since I've been to Rock and Bowl. I know so many of my fans have been following me for a long time at the Rock and Bowl, and it's been a couple years since I've performed at the Rock and Bowl, so it's going to be such a great homecoming weekend.
And Rock and Bowl is such a great venue because, I mean, you're right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right there, and the dance floor is right there, right by the stage, so it's a good venue.
Totally, yeah. I mean, I just have so many great memories. I love it when people come up to me and they're like, I was at your 18th birthday at Rock and Bowl. I was at your 21st birthday at Rock and Bowl. Like, and just people will, you know, come up to me and tell me those things, but a lot of great memories at the Rock and Bowl.
Yeah.
So I've spent a lot of birthdays.
You know,
there.
It seems like this year, I don't know, maybe I didn't notice it as much, but it seems like there's more going on after hours with Jazz Fest than ever before.
Yeah, there's, you know, every year I feel like, you know, it gets more, it gets bigger, you know, and that's so great for our local musicians, you know, to be working, you know, not just the festival, but then to also be, you know, working in the evenings. And, you know, I think it's just great. It's great for visitors who come to enjoy our culture. Like, I mean, it's a great, I don't know, it's just such a great time of year, and I love it because it's one of the only times I get to run into my musician friends too. It's like you're like, oh, you're playing there too, okay, well I'll see you there, and maybe you get to catch some of their set or whatever. It's such a fun festive time of year. I love it.
You know, I did a little research because again I wanted to treat this like an interview, even though we're very close friends. Yeah. And it was hard because I just want to talk to you, but I thought, you know, I want to interview Amanda. You know, there's no dirt on you out there.
Well, I try to take a bath every day.
I mean,
so.
There's no dirt. I mean, there's nothing dirty out there about that. That's nice to know, too. But, you know, there's like, you know, you've got a clean record.
Thank you. You know, we're going to try to keep it that way. I pay a lot of people.
You should try to change that.
I pay a lot of people to keep it that way, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the things that they don't know won't hurt them. What is something about you that people don't know that you would like them to know about you?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question. I wish I would have had time to think about that. I mean,
well, just answer spontaneously. What's something about you, something you do or something you're interested in? What's something about you or a philosophy or something about you that people don't know that you want them to know about you?
You know, I love, this is something you and I have talked a lot about. I love trying to live a healthy lifestyle, and that's changed over the years for me, you know, for, you know, but, you know, yoga, eating well, and like cooking when I am home and I'm not traveling. I love cooking at my house, and, you know, like living. I know a lot of people, I think when you're in music that maybe, you know, all your life is like a party, you know, and it can be if you want it to be that way. But for me, one of the ways I try to stay as like focused as I can to keep my energy, because I want to do this for a long time, you know, as long as I possibly can. And so, yeah, paying attention to my body and trying to live well and live as, you know, wholefully as I can, you know, whether, again, it's moving my body, feeding my body well, you know, sometimes it's getting more rest, sometimes it's doing an at-home spa night, you know. I really love to try to live that way. And I don't know if that's something people know about me or not. I sometimes post things in my stories, like, look at this, you know, thing I made, you know, this thing I cooked or whatever. But yeah, that's something that's really important to me, and I try my best to, you know, to live that, you know, lifestyle.
Well, I know you do, because when we decide we're going to go out to dinner, it's really hard to find a place to eat, because there's like five places we can eat in New Orleans with Amanda.
I know. We have a few routines that we do.
Yeah, we do. Always like a little bit off the beaten path, you know, which is cool. I mean, I like that.
Yeah,
like
especially that here in New Orleans, because everything is so, you know, we have very rich foods, and which I do like to splurge, you know, sometimes. Yeah. I don't want to say, you know, like, I love a good, you know, good splurge sometimes. I love crawfish and everything like that. But yeah, for the most part, I love eating healthy. And so, yeah, I guess that would be one thing that I don't know if people know that about me.
I mean, I've had a glass of wine with you, but you really don't drink.
No, I don't drink. Yeah.
And you don't do drugs.
No.
But you're still fun.
well, thank you.
Well, a lot of people are not fun unless they're on drugs or drunk.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I might just be too much fun for alcohol and drugs. I don't know.
Yeah, I can imagine what it might do to you. But no, but it's great to, it's, I mean, it's great to have that image, because, you know, every day I'm reading on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, I'm reading about people that, you know, in fact, today's a day that Chris Kelly of Crisscross died at the age of 34. I mean, these were teenagers. Yeah. They had a number one hit with a Jump in 92, and he died of an overdose of heroin and cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Now, I mean, it's like the cocaine wasn't enough. He had to add heroin to that.
You know, uppers and downers, you know.
You know, it's just, I know, it's so sad. And I tell you, the rockers like Mick Jagger and people like me, I mean, I had a wild time in my life, but, you know, I don't do that stuff anymore. I mean, you can't continue to do it. I mean, your heart can't take it. So, you know, if you want to live a great life, I mean, if you're Gen X or Millennial or Zoomer, you know, I mean, look, there's something to be said for leading a good life and taking care of yourself. Yeah. Because if you do, you're going to get older, and you want to be able to have fun when you're older, and you can. Yeah. I mean, I'm living proof of that.
Yeah, you know, and I just, like, at some point, for me personally, I love playing music so much, and I realized, I was like, you know, if I want to do this for a long time, I have to be around for a long time. And so, yeah, it's just more important to me to be able to get up and think in the morning, to be able to, like, yeah, you know, I love having creative ideas, you know, jumping on the phone with my team and being like, oh my God, I had this crazy idea. And I love that. It makes me feel so alive. And there's just like not, you know, there's just like not, I don't know if there's a drug or alcohol out there that could make me feel as whole. So.
And, you know, very, very briefly, I've got to get to a break here, but like everybody who, like Nikki Sixx, I mean, everybody who has quit drugs and drinking, everybody says life is better, stage is better, being on stage is better, everything is better without drugs and alcohol.
Well, I'm having fun, so, yeah, and I can't speak for if I was on drugs, but I'm without the drugs,
too.
I'm having fun.
I mean,
fun,
I have a glass
so.
Of, I mean, I don't even remember the last time I had a glass of wine, but like, I'm, you know, I'm cool the way I am, too. Amanda, thank you. Amanda Shaw on stage, the Shell Gentile stage, tomorrow morning, opening up at 11:25.
I know, get there early.
New stuff. And we're going to go to break with another segment from the song Bad. It's about after a breakup, you want to be bad. And that is certainly true. You can go out and be bad. If you're single, you can go. Well, you know, if you're married, I hope you can find ways to be bad, too. You just, you know, can't do it with anybody else. All right. So, and also, Amanda and Cowboy Mouth, Saturday night at Rock and Bowl.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for being here.